Mark chapter 6, verse 5. You there? And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Now, is that a bad thing? Is that, you know, him laying his hands on a few sick folk and healing them? That's still a pretty good thing. It's still a good work. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It's still a good thing, but he was limited in the good that he could do. You see, still a good thing, right? A few sick folk got healed. Well, glory be to God. But he wanted to do more. More. Say more. Well, here's Jesus. We read that, right? This is Jesus wanting to do more. Look what he did. He could there do no mighty work, save he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their what?
Unbelief.
Their unbelief. And he went around about the villages doing what?
Teaching.
What's the cure for unbelief then?
Teaching.
He marveled at their unbelief. They had marvelous unbelief. It was so well developed, their unbelief. So what did he do? He went around teaching. What was the result? The intended result for going around teaching, he didn't just give up on them. It was to bring them to belief. Because then when they received him, they believed in him, then he would have mighty works. Are you making the connection? I'm going to make this connection stronger and stronger as we go here this morning. Can you believe in something today you didn't believe in yesterday? Absolutely. That's part of the way it is. We get to believe in something farther. Can we believe something about ourselves today that we didn't believe yesterday? How's that going to happen? That's the anointing and the teaching that you're receiving. Is this good? How many of you have a different opinion about yourself than you might have had a little while ago before you've been coming here? It's part of the teaching that comes in you. Messes with you. If you don't like it, you should leave, because it's going to continue to mess with you and you're going to be a completely different person. What happened to you? Used to be normal. Now you're just radical. Word this, word that, anointing this, anointing that. You can hear it a lot. You'll hear it. People say it. I eventually turn them off, and you eventually go run around in other circuits where they receive you. It's eventually what happened to Jesus in Nazareth. He marveled at their unbelief, and he went about the villages teaching. All right, glory be to God. This is going to get good. Acts 10:38. I just quoted it. Whew. Hallelujah. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing what?
Good.
Jesus went about doing good with the Holy Ghost and power, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. It separated the doing good and the healing. Did you notice that? What did it say in the first scripture we read that Jesus did everywhere? He was daily with them. Teaching. He went about, number one, doing good. His teaching had to be good. It had to be doing good. You hear? Now, will a teaching actually do something? Or is it just a teaching? It's a nice teaching. I learned something. Or did it do good? Oh, I hope you get this, because something good is happening to you today. You know, people used to accuse Oral Roberts of, you know, blasphemy when he said that. Something good's going to happen to you today. Oh, how can you say that? Because it is. Jesus went about doing good. The Bible says he daily taught them. He went about doing bad?
No.
Good.
Good.
And what was he doing every day? Hallelujah. He went about doing good and healing. doing good and healing. Is there more in teaching than that we know so far going on in the teaching? There's good doing. Something good is happening to you when you sit under the anointing. Something good, and it's beyond what you can think. It's beyond what you can see. It's a supernatural transaction taking place. Glory to God. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Go to John chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. What does rabbi mean? Teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these what?
Miracles
that thou doest except God be with him. Well, Jesus went about doing good, doing something, and healing. Then he came up and he said, we know you're a teacher from God because no one can do these miracles. Are you starting to see the connection here? There's a teaching that goes on, a spiritual transaction of words. How does God do everything?
Words.
Through words. And when the words come under an anointed teaching, a miracle takes place. Is a new birth a miracle?
Yes.
Is the salvation of a marriage a miracle?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Is a financial prosperity coming into your situation a miracle?
Yes.
Can miracles be transferred to you through listening to the anointed teaching? Yes. This is how it happens. Jesus was daily with them teaching, and miracles took place. Hallelujah. Is this good news?
Wonderful.
I don't know if you're excited about it. And it's not the, you know, it's not the spectacular that people look for. They're looking for the spectacular when we have the miraculous taking place all the time. All around us, our lives are being changed. People are getting saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and healed, and prospered. And things are happening in their life, and we're not seeing, but I'm not seeing the spectacular. I want to see people float and bump into the wall. I like to see that too. But what I'd rather see is people changed.
Yes, hallelujah.
And if you have the anointed word, remember we taught, who's the anointed word? That's right. In manifestation, what did he do back then? He was daily teaching them, and miracles took place. Do you want miracles to take place?
Yes.
Then it's to stay in the anointed word until it takes place in you. You're only limited by your ability to hear and hear. Faith comes by hearing. So keep hearing. Hearing, a transformation will take place down on the inside of you, and it'll begin to seep out into your body. It'll seep out into your relationships. It'll seep out into your family. It'll seep out into your life. And you're completely, radically changed by the anointed word, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word becomes your Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Glory be to God forever. So if Jesus was with you today, the way he was back then, what would he be doing?
Teaching.
He'd be teaching you. Just teaching you like mathematics and algebra. What was he teaching you? He was imparting unto you spiritual truths. His words were spirit and life. And as he's teaching you, these spiritual truths go down into you and begin to create what? The thing that he said on the inside of you, and he did it through the teaching. That's if you get that anointed teaching. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is Lord. Where did I say? 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 12, glory be to God, 28. Here we go. You got your seatbelt on? And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, What's that next word? After that. What?
Miracles.
Why didn't he put miracles first? Because it's after. You can see right here. It's right there. It's after. First apostles. Secondarily prophets. Thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. After the what? The teaching. And not just a teaching, but a teaching by a teacher that's anointed by God. You can have the miraculous. Say, I want the miraculous.
I want the miraculous
in my life. You want to live in the miraculous? Then it comes after the teaching.
Oh, you're trying to puff yourself up like you're some special teacher. No, I'm nothing special at all.
It's the Holy Ghost. It's the anointing. And if I can yield to him in a way and let him say the things he needs to say, then we will have miracles taking place in people's lives. Will it always be the spectacular? No, not always. He was with them daily, and we can look at the recorded instances of Jesus, and there were times when he healed them all, and it was a public spectacle, but he was with them daily, and there were miraculous things taking place. And he didn't even know about half of them. Because it came through the power of his words being imparted into people and their life changing. Hallelujah. Life changing words. Yes. I hope you're still here. Yes. Hallelujah. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles. And I know you can go down here and you can do all kinds of other stuff. I was just trying to prove a simple point that it comes after. Jesus is Lord. After that, miracles. Ephesians 2:20. I'll go quickly through this section. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Is that supernatural? Yeah, we're growing into a supernatural, what a temple of the Lord, the living God. You, God walking around where? In your eyeballs, brother. In your hands. In all that you are. You're the temple of God. How could this happen? Firstly, apostles, prophets, teachers. He is the Word. He's the anointed Word. How does that fill the temple? Through his teachers. Whether people like it or not. Some people don't. Well, too bad. Go to Matthew 28:18. You getting anything out of this? Are you limited? Limited by your ability to do things with God? You're only limited by your ability to hear from the Spirit of God. Because there's nothing impossible to you if you can hear from God. Why? Because with that word comes the anointing to fulfill the word. Comes the faith. It comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Right? Yes. Hallelujah. Makes me happy. I'm about to get one of those permanent smiles. I'll resist it because then I can't talk plainly. You look like you've been Botoxed. Jesus is Lord. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake. What did he do? Jesus came and waved his magical wand over the crowd. They all floated and hovered. It was a miraculous thing. No, he was daily with them doing what? The unmiraculous thing of teaching, and people would call it unmiraculous, in reality it was the root of the miraculous. Teaching. If he came in here today, he would do the same thing. Why daily? This is what he does. Ha 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 ha. Hallelujah. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What is he doing when he's doing this? What, did they know this before? He was teaching. Go to the front of the class. Wait, you're in the front of the class. He's raised from the dead. And what is he doing? He's teaching them. Hey, all power has been given unto me. But listen, was it just a teaching? Was it just a mental thing? And we know this. If we just got this in our mind and we said, yes, the Lord Jesus has been given all power in heaven and in earth. I know the scripture reference of that. Does that do you any good? No, but it's when the impartation comes that comes with the teaching from that anointing. It goes down in you and you know something that you didn't know before and you're changed by it. He's Lord of heaven and earth. He's Lord. All power has been given unto him. Watch out. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach. What? What? Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And what's the command, therefore? He's basically saying to transmit to people through teaching. The same thing that he transmitted unto them. He called it a command. Because when that teaching from the Holy Ghost comes, it's more authoritative than just the words of a man. Remember they said that about Jesus, that his words were with what? Were with power. Not like the scribes. There's a difference. The scribes taught them things, but something about his words were with power. And it caused things to happen. Hallelujah. And then he told you to go and do the same thing. Teach them in the same way, the same capacity, the same stuff. Into all the world. Say all the world. All the world. Glory be to God forever. Why would he have you do that unless it's going to change all the world? That's the point. The words that you speak are to be spirit and life, and they are to change the situation that you're speaking to. That's why I expect you to change when I say words to you. Not my own words, but when I follow the Holy Ghost, then I'm saying words that will literally change your life if you receive them. And sometimes I'll say stuff that I don't even know I'm talking about. And, you know, people come up to me afterwards and they'll go, how did you know that? Well, you see, I have little, you know, microphones in all of your houses. Yeah, man, that just take up too much time. I'd rather just flow with the Holy Ghost. Who told you? Who told you that? How many of you had that happen? See, you said you've been here. Hallelujah. I get a kick out of it because I still don't know anything about you. Glory be to God. I can protect myself. I don't want to know. Where was I? Help me out. Matthew 28, glory be to God, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Glory be to God. Acts 14, 7. You ready for this? Acts 14, hallelujah. How many of you like Acts 14?
Yes.
I like them all. Glory be to God. They're all anointed, and they all can get you there.
Yes,
Jesus is Lord. Acts 14, verse 7. And there they what?
Preach
the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. That's not good. The same heard Paul do what? So Paul was preaching the gospel. He was teaching. He was preaching. He was speaking. What is that necessary to use if you're speaking?
Words.
Your eyelids? You could like blink the gospel through Morse code. It's like a silent picture. No, he had to speak words. Well, then what happened? After he spoke the words, what happened? He heard them. The same heard Paul speak words. You people here? The same heard Paul speak. What words? The gospel. He said he preached the gospel. What gospel do you think he's preaching? The one that Jesus commanded him to go and do? I think so. He heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. How did this man get faith to be healed? If faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. He had to hear the word that he could be healed, and it had to be contained in the gospel. Because he preached the gospel, and it created faith in the man to be healed. Was there something in those words then that Paul was speaking? Was Paul just teaching some kind of super strange teaching that was tickling their ears? No. The words he spoke went into this person, went in through his ear gate, went down in him and created faith to be healed from an illness that he had from his mother's womb. What did Paul's miraculous teaching? No, the Holy Spirit anointed words. Oh, protect your ears, people. What you hear has so much to do with who you become and what you are. Let those be words that are anointed, that go down into you and change you, can heal you for something you've had since you were born, or even before you were born. The same heard Paul speak words, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet," and he leapt and walked. What was happening when this happened? This was right in the middle of a message as Paul was preaching. Simple as that. The man's faith came to a point where he had faith to be healed. Paul picked up on it by the gift of the Spirit. And did he run over there and wave over him with some magical salve?
No. Hey, we told him.
All he did was speak more words, and the man leapt and walked. By what power? Paul's power? The power of the anointing in the word that was already resident in the man, and the man's faith made him whole. How many times did Jesus say, "Your faith made you whole"? Wasn't Jesus' faith? Jesus was obedient to give the words. The man's faith made him whole. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by smelling. Faith comes by smelling the word. Faith comes by looking at the word. No, faith comes. This is God's method. Do you like God's method?
Yeah.
If you don't, change your method and start liking it, because this is his method. If you want great faith, you're going to have great ears. Ever see the people with the big ears? Glory to God. You got the capacity for hearing more, maybe. I don't know. It was like the wolf in that story. Why? What big ears you have, Grandma. It's better to hear the word of God with. That would be the scriptural, Riding Hood story.
Scriptural riding.
All right. Trying to keep the kids involved here. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Luke 8. We're almost done. Hang on. Brother, it seems like you're trying to impart something unto us. Yes, good teaching will do that. It'll actually impart something on the inside of you to do what? Faith. Well, what's the end result we're looking for? We're looking for a miracle to happen. We're looking for a miracle to happen. And not just one, many. You're a walking miracle. Hallelujah. Can that be? Could it be? How's it going to happen? By me and my greatness? By the word of God and you receiving it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God forever. Yes. Jesus is Lord. Luke 8:47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people, what cause? Say what cause? What cause she had touched him? And how she was healed immediately. What cause she touched him? Now, first and foremost, Jesus didn't even know any of this was going on, did he? He's turning around. He said, what? Who touched me? And they said, well, everybody's touching you. Everybody's touching you. They want to touch the rock and roll star. Everybody's pushing in on him, the press. You know, if they had cameras back there, they'd have been trying to, you know, get the camera and the picture and sell it to the Inquirer. The paparazzi. But that was just the Pharisees. They're trying to get evidence against him. Pressing, he didn't even know who touched him. He turned around. If it was his sovereignty, he would have turned around and said, Mary Sue, I have anointed you to be healed today in front of all this for a witness for my greatness. Come and touch my pointy hat. Be a witness unto me. He didn't even know who. He's like, who touched me? I felt power go out of me. Did he have control over the mighty power?
No.
It just went out of him. He didn't even know. He knew when it went out, but he didn't know where it went and what it did. Isn't that amazing? Just like when he was teaching, he didn't know where it went and what it did, but it was doing something. Now, what did she say here? She began to testify. What was her testimony? Yeah, but what was the beginning part of her testimony? And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, falling down before him, and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him. Something caused her to come and do that. What do you think would have caused her to do it? We know it was faith because he said, your faith made you whole.
Yes, hallelujah.
How did she get faith? She heard anointed words. It affected her to the point where she knew that if I touch his garment, I will be whole.
Yes.
Jesus set this up by following the teaching daily. Daily teaching, daily teaching, daily teaching. To the point where it affected this woman that she came and just said, if I can just touch his garment, I shall be whole. She did. And he did, and he didn't even know it. It just happened. You hear?
Yes.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The anointed word's the same.
Yes.
That's the part that doesn't change. Well, if she can be healed back then by touching the anointing, we can be healed by touching the anointing that's resident in God's word.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory be to God forever. And he said unto her, 48, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 5. Getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5. So where's the power, people? Does it benefit you to hear the word? Is it doing good?
Yes.
It does good when you hear the word and there's an anointing there. It does something to you. I'm being changed. I'm being changed. As the word goes in, it changes you and it causes a miraculous thing to take place on the inside of you. Hallelujah. Is that good? It's God's method. Like I said, well, I don't like this. No, this is God's method. This is the method we, if we get in line with it, we can have the result, which is miraculous things taking place in your life. Would you like that? I like it. I like it when something happens that I don't know that was going to happen. And it's a miraculous thing. And it's good. Jesus went about doing good. Something good's going to happen to you as a result of this. Can I believe that? Should I believe that? Or should I just come waste an hour of your time? No. Why don't you come to church? I will waste an hour of your time. No, I would rather seek the anointing, seek the word, and then be able to transmit something to you that will radically change you. Right? Hallelujah. And am I the one radically changing you? No. It's the word. It's the anointed word that will come into you and do something. And then you'll be completely different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Miracles, signs, wonders. And I'm all for the floating around the room. I'm for that. I like that. I'm good for a good shake and, you know, run. Shake and run. But, you know, I've seen a lot of that, and many times nothing really happened to the person. It was a great demonstration, but what actually changed? And can you see this in the Word, that this is where people actually change? Something changes on the inside of them. And it's miraculous. Is this any less miraculous than somebody floating around the room? No. And it's more permanent because it comes from the right source in the right way. Hallelujah. All right, glory be to God. Luke 5, verse 7. And it came to pass. What did it do?
Came to pass.
On a certain day as he was
teaching.
Again? What is he doing? It seems like every day he's out there with the same method, the same beginning. This woman with the issue of blood, it began where? It began with a teaching. It began with words that she heard. And it affected her to the point of acting on her faith and having a miracle take place. A certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. You people here? And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. What was Jesus doing? So, he didn't say he was doing anything else here. Right? Was he skipping? Was he dancing? Was he prophesying? Was he singing? Was he leading worship with the Pharisee choir? They're rather good, you know. They want to sing all those traditional hymns. Oh, goodness. What was Jesus doing?
Teaching.
And he even had a tough crowd, I'm sure. He's teaching, and here's the crowd that knows, you know, their stuff. And he's teaching. And what did it say? The power of the Lord was present to heal. When? In what?
In the teaching.
Thank you. Go again. Now you're in the front. You're already in the head of the class. The power of the Lord was present to heal in what?
The teaching.
Are you being able to make this connection?
Yes.
This is how the woman got the faith to be healed. It was resident in the words that Jesus said. Faith came by hearing the words. Paul preached the gospel in the impotent man. The faith was in the words. It was imparted into him. And he said, stand up on your feet. Where was the power? It was resident in the words, in the teaching, in the transaction. That's the part of teaching, you understand, that goes just beyond the preaching. That to be a teacher, you have to be able to impart and to bring people along. Right? Or they're not learning anything. Are you a good teacher if people don't learn anything? He spent an hour and 45 minutes talking about something. I didn't get a single word. A good teacher is one who can bring the pupil or the student along to the same place that the teacher is. Right? The student will be as the teacher. Did I read all that yet? I don't think so. But the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Let me ask a question. Was anybody healed?
Yes.
Right then. No, at this moment in time. He's teaching, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Was anybody healed even though the power was present? No. Why weren't any of the Pharisees healed? They weren't receiving the teaching. If they received the teaching, the power would have healed them. And it goes on to say that there were instances of healing in this, but the point I'm trying to make is that the power to heal was in the teaching. How many of you have been healed just by listening? Just by hearing? And all of a sudden, and it didn't happen to be the most spectacular thing you ever had, but it just left. It just left. All of a sudden, the problem that you were having, you're not having it anymore because it left. Where'd it go? I don't know. You shouldn't care. Right? So many of the times, that's the way things happen in the Bible and in the gospel and in the way the kingdom of God operates and functions. These things just leave. And you don't know where it went or how it went, but it came, the manifestation came through hearing the word and actually the thing being forced out. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Acts 10:34. Try to end with this. Peter opened his ears. Peter opened his hands. No, Peter opened his mouth and said something. You people here, I'm excited about this already. People opened his mouth and said something. What do you think he's going to start saying? Why do you think Peter started opening his mouth? To speak. Absolutely. Do you think he might have been moved upon by the Holy Ghost to do it? Well, it's written in your Bible. And we know that the Bible is the inspired word of God, so he must be under the inspiration of the anointing. He's about ready to say something. So there's power resident in these words that he said that will produce the fruit of what he said. Ah. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." What's he talking about here? After the baptism which John preached, what happened? The gospel of the kingdom was preached. They went throughout all teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, spread through the whole land. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And I've already told you that most of that doing good was what? Through the process of teaching. Doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How many of you had devils leave your head just by listening to the good anointed word of God? You ever got problems in your head? Go listen to some anointed word. They can't stand it. They hate it. Drive those devils crazy. Keep listening to the word. Verse 39. "And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, on whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even unto us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." Hallelujah. Verse 42. "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which is ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins." Verse 44. "While Peter yet spake these words. What was he doing to people? He was preaching, he was speaking, he was teaching. He was speaking what? Words. While he spoke these words, did he speak enough words for people to believe? He said Jesus was raised from the dead, and we ate with him, and we drank with him.
Glory to God.
Is that enough for somebody to believe? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I was with him. I ate a sandwich. What do you need to know? You're giving witness to what the fact that you ate with this person. He's raised from the dead. I knew him before, and I knew him after. Preaching words, teaching them something they didn't know. And through the function of words, something's about to happen. While Peter yet spake. So did he finish? Did he finally finish, and then he had them all stand up in a row in a healing line? And I like healing lines, that's okay. But did he do that? Did they have to fill out their healing card? Did they have to give an offering first? Something's taking place here. Some power is being transmitted and taking place aside from all the mechanics of other things that we think sometimes we have to do. There's an anointing resident in the words that he said. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which what?
Heard
the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as them came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnified God. How did this happen, brother? There must have been somebody doing something. Yes, it's called the preaching and teaching of the anointed word. People hear it, people believe it, and they're receiving what? Some other Holy Ghost? No, it's the same Holy Ghost. You can be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed at the same time, same person. Same God who works all in all. Hallelujah. So, what had to happen for this mighty, miraculous thing to take place? They were all baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. How? Through the Word, the anointing in the Word. That's how I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I heard the Word, and I received, I believed the Word, and I acted on the Word. It's how you get healed. You hear the Word, you believe the Word, you receive the Word, you act on the Word. It's how you get saved. You hear the Word. You believe the word, you act on the word. You say, Jesus, I make you Lord. What happens? Is that miraculous? It's miraculous. You take one person who was one way one day, and now there's something completely else, different the next day. Born again. It's the biggest thing of all. How did it come? Transmission of the anointed word. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the power that's resident in your word. We receive that miraculous anointing power today. We thank you that we are changed. We thank you that that word even now is producing in us faith to move out, to step out, to receive something we've never received before. And we confess that we will act on it. We will move towards it. We will be people of God, super anointed, to take this earth for the glory of God and the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for transforming us today. In Jesus' name, amen.